Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 21st of December, recording at 8:12 p.m. and that's Greenwich Mean Time. That's earlier than I usually record and before the Wall Street close. Now, let's have a quick look at what's happened earlier today. In Asia, the stock markets were mostly higher following Wall Street's good gains. I think the one exception was the China A shares, which closed lower. But Taiwan, for example, another Chinese region index, had a big gain, and the Hang Seng was up nearly 2%. In Europe, we had strong early gains. There was an announcement that the ECB was making a great deal of money available to banks within the region on a three-year basis. And so they could borrow cheaply for up to 3 years. And see, markets rebounded on that. The euro was strong, but the moves were pegged back and actually reversed somewhat because people realized that many of the or much of the borrowings would be used to offset maturing loans. More on that in a moment. But the European stock markets closed mostly to the downside, but less than 1%. In the Americas, which are still trading, Wall Street's come off a modest decline, also less than 1%, with the exception of the NASDAQ. And actually, the S&P, as I speak, is a fraction higher right now, and the Dow, having been down at least 80 points at one stage, is only down 15 right now. The NASDAQ's down a little bit more. It's been hit by Oracle, which missed its target, and that knocked the share back. In long-dated government bond prices, they have weakened again in the USA, and are a little firmer in Europe. The U.S. dollar index, which had weakened originally, is now a little bit firmer and back above 80. And the euro, having rallied up to nearly 132, is back to 130 and a half. And those are the main developments that I see in currencies. The sterling's firm, 156.75. Gold. Early in today, in the environment of stronger stock markets, gold had rallied up to nearly 1642, but is currently trading down slightly at 1612 and change. That's down over $3. And the other precious metals have performed accordingly, reversing gains. The industrial commodities are mostly higher. Copper's edged up to 339. And the Brent crude is 107 and change. And the WTI crude is 98.78. And the agricultural commodities, grain and bean complex, has firmed in here again today. Helped by hot, dry weather in the South American growing regions. Okay, so what's going on here? Well, Europe still dominates the news, but there's other bad news to worry about, such as the slowdown in GDP growth that we're seeing in the growth economies. And then there's also the standoff that we have between the Republicans and Democrats in the U.S., which makes it very difficult for any kind of legislative decision of importance to actually occur. On the European situation, I do think that today's announcement by the ECB is important. Shades of recapitalizing banks to the yield curve and also giving them additional liquidity so that loans don't freeze up entirely. And while people are quick to point out, well, this hasn't really solved the big overall problem, that's certainly true. There is a lot to be done in terms of the political decisions, led by Germany and France, of course. But I'll put it this way, if the European banks have postponed any possible Lehman moment of their own for at least the next 3 years, and the ECB loans are for three-year loans, that's no small achievement. And that increases the prospects of a muddle through by most of the European economies, albeit in a very slow growth and or more likely recession environment overall. Now, we have received just a towering open letter by the author Frederick Forsyth to Angela Merkel, and I published that in its entirety here today. I think it had first appeared in the Daily Express, and it's certainly making the rounds. And I've also got an interesting email that came in shortly afterwards regarding that same open letter by Frederick Forsyth, and it's a must read. I think it really sums up some very, very interesting interesting points, not least regarding the UK veto. Enough said. I'll let you read that at your leisure, but I certainly hope you do read it. And if you if the spirit moves you and you want to forward that to anyone, please do. Now, what else to mention here? Following the strong upward dynamics that we saw yesterday in Europe and the USA, I was hoping that we might see some follow through in here today. And although we've got nearly 40 minutes to go before Wall Street's actually closed, well, it's not looking bad, as they having retraced most of the losses that we had that we had actually seen. But Europe did not give up a lot of ground, and the USA at the moment is giving up minimal ground here right now. So in terms of where things actually stand technically, we've got we've got another higher low. We had the higher low in late November above the September and October lows, and now we have a late a December 20th higher low, and that's the way uptrends start. Now, we do still have overall medium-term downtrends for most of these indices, but they're being tested in some instances, and this activity for a number of them does look potentially like support building. And I think if we get a less worrying situation out of Europe for a while, if it moves off the front pages, that could be a positive influence, particularly if we get more of a move towards across the boards monetary easing by the growth economies. And I think that's a given. It's just they're not all going to do it on the same day, I think we will definitely see more easing. Even the Bank of India has indicated as much, although it has yet to cut rates. So, again, the monetary policy, as I've mentioned in most of these audios, is favorable overall and becoming more favorable, that we can definitely look forward to. And that will be, if not a tailwind pushing the stock markets higher, it will be a cushion limiting downward risk, in my opinion. And we would have to have a huge blow-up in Europe. I think the most alarming would be if we had a major bank failure or two. But the ECB's move in here today has made that prospect less likely. And Europe is very conscious of the fact that for all its all the arguing and indecision, that they need to avoid just that type of incident. So I think that markets are not so bad against this background, a very bearish sentiment, which is a contrary indicator. There's some attractive valuations out there. And I think that we go sideways at worst and possibly a little higher. I'll have to become more cautious if we see the lows that we've had late last week or early this week, if we see those lows taken out. And I would become more cautious or negative still if I were to see the late November lows taken out. But that's not happening at the moment. Things are going in the other direction, sideways to higher, that is. Long-dated government bond prices remain in ranges overall and mostly steady within those ranges, although they have backed off a bit this week, particularly the U.S. Treasuries. But again, we've still got quantitative easing, keeping those prices firm. I think it's quite possible that the yields stay low and that the government bond prices stay relatively firm for a while longer, certainly while investors are very concerned about the possibility of a major European blow-up. Again, I think that risk is overstated, although it's higher than I would like it to be. And I think that rather than a full blow-up and collapse of the euro, that what is a much more likely possibility is we get some sort of realignment with Greece and perhaps another country or two leaving the euro at some point over the next year or two. And when we may, I think we may well see an inner and an outer euro is another possibility, but that's up for them to decide. It's a political construct, and as Frederick Forsyth said, you made it, so now mend it. Okay, referring to the Germans. Now, precious metals. I think the short-term problem for gold is that there are willing sellers overhead following the downward break, which I've discussed at length in these audios, caught a lot of people by surprise, and therefore it would not be surprising if people would quite happily book some profits on a reasonable rally, such as we saw this morning, and stand aside for a while. So I think we can see more of that. We do still have some risk to the downside, but from the high, we're currently $300 below the high for gold bullion. It's a high that we saw in early September. And so maybe there's another $100 risk, maximum $200 risk to the downside, is it would be my guess, and we can never be sure about that, but the point is that we've probably seen at least, well, at least 3/5 of what we're likely to get on the downside. Now, on a longer term basis, I think low interest rates more monetary accommodation. That's bullish for gold. I don't think the long-term fundamental story has changed. And I think it would require a much more bearish scenario. Some people are expecting this, of course, but we would have to see the growth, the Asian-led growth. We would have to see that mostly drying up, and with Europe firmly entrenched in recession and with the U.S. slipping back into recession against that background, there's little doubt in my mind that we would see a considerably bigger decline in the price of gold bullion. But that's not the likely outcome, in my view overall. I'm quite happy to stand on the sidelines and watch the gold market at this stage. But again, I don't think that the long-term bull market is over. But certainly, we're still very much in a medium-term corrective phase. And we can't be sure that we've actually seen the lows within that phase. Now, in terms of the U.S. dollar, it does take its cue more often than not from stock markets. There is a fundamental case for a weaker euro, but everybody knows that, and I think that's there are a lot of shorts in the euro here right now. And when we see stock markets showing a bit of firmness, they're under a bit of pressure, as we saw this morning. And we also get the US dollar easing somewhat. I think we can expect that pattern to continue for a while longer. And we have probably seen a very short-term bottom. We've seen a near-term bottom in the continuous commodity index. Overall prices have steadied up with stock markets here this week, but we have seen a major reset for many of the industrial commodities. Not quite as much of a reset for crude oil as I would like to see, but the Brent, which is probably the most important price these days to monitor, does remain within a gradual overall downward trending channel. And I think that's really touched most of the important bases in here today. More tomorrow. Meanwhile, all the best.